Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So on Saturday night, Ajahn Amaro talked on the theme of gratitude, and I'm going to speak on the same theme. Not because I actually can think of anything to say about it, but because Plern's putting us up to it. She was saying that people have said things to her, teasing her that she always prints books in Thai and never prints anything in English. So she started thinking, and she would thinking ahead to next year's Katina, sort of thinking, well, I can make a print a book and use Ajahn Liam's little piece that he wrote when he was here. On gratitude, and then asked. So then she's asked us if we would speak on gratitude, and then she'll take that and transcribe them and put them into a little booklet for distributing for Dhamma. So that. It's a wonderful idea. Of course, now I have to think of something to say. But, and particularly after Ajahn Amaro gave an extensive talk on gratitude. And on a certain level, just the. They just that Yom Plern had the that kind of idea or that kind of intention is something worthy of gratitude that she's again that sense of somebody wants to help us out, somebody wants to do something that's a benefit for others, and something to be really grateful for. There's people that want to do that, and paying attention to those things or recognizing. And I think that's where a lot of gratitude comes, is when we pay attention to others, pay attention to the efforts that others make. Also, I think there's a sense of when we put ourselves into a frame of mind that is willing to measure things not from our own views, perspectives, feelings, but is able to extend our perception and way of viewing things, how others feel, how they think, how they perceive, then there can be room for a lot of gratitude. I mean, there's a certain, I mean, it works together with a sense of empathy as well, so that there can be, there's a lot of gratitude starts to come in to the heart when we're able to really extend ourselves beyond our own our own feelings, our own biases, our own perspectives, and you know, so that's it's actually a very very important thing to reflect on, because you know, so often what happens was, you know, we tend to get caught in, you know, how we feel, how we like things, or what we dislike, what we want, what we don't want, and measure the world, measure ourselves, measure others from that perspective. And inevitably that ends up being very limiting and even very cramped and crowded, and it's easy to drift into negativity, or just not to experience a sense of expansiveness in the heart, in the mind, and so then it doesn't give much room for gratitude. So that's a reflection. There's a I mean, this talk will probably be different things popping into my mind from time to time, but there's something that I read not that long ago. It was in a book by Richard Wright, Evolution of God. One of the things that was that he said was in Islam, the word that is usually translated as unbeliever, you know, when they speak about somebody who is an unbeliever, somebody who's sort of outside of the pale or outside of the religion, the more literal translation of that is somebody who is ungrateful, which is very interesting in terms of the perspective of a religion. And I don't get the whole context because I don't know enough about Islam, but it was an interesting perspective that for a world religion, and how they look at what is a criterion for somebody who's sort of within the religion, who's somebody within, and when you divide it up in between to people who are believers and unbelievers, that somebody who is an unbeliever, somebody who's not grateful, and it's a very human, say, perspective or a very human experience, in the sense that for somebody to cut themselves off from something is to sort of experience this sort of inability to experience gratitude. It cuts one off from something very important, something that is a kind of a lifeblood of one's humanity. So that's an interesting little factoid worthy of reflection and taking note of. In reflecting on on gratitude, there's the a perspective of it's a way of turning the mind away from say, negative mental states, in the sense that, you know, when we, if we reflect on things, there's always, it's easy to get caught in the negative, but the way the Buddha has us investigate things, you can always look at, you know, that which is the, say, the drawback or the painful aspect of something, but you can also look at what is the benefit, what is the upside, so that you can reflect on things in that way. And I remember Ajahn Chah talking and teaching and sort of saying, you know, well, you know, so often when we live in the world, we're you know, whether we're monastics or whether we're lay people, we're still swayed by the worldly winds, and it's easy to be caught by the things that we, you know, really not necessarily wanting to be praised, but, you know, the feeling of when there is praise, then we feel a bit comfortable. But when there's any kind of criticism or blame, then we get upset. We feel a sense of either resentment or aversion or some sense of feeling of defeat or frustration. And Ajahn Chah is saying, well, you know, if you just turn it around by reflecting, you know, when there is some kind of criticism or some kind of blame, you can actually turn it around by reflecting on, one can be grateful for that opportunity to look at look at that. Huh? I was expecting praise for that. I was expecting some kind of when somebody points out one's faults, you think, you know, usually you feel, oh my God, oh, it's just so painful to have some fault pointed out. And so, Ajahn Chah sort of said, well, no, look at it in terms of being grateful for that opportunity. It's rare that one has the opportunity to have one's faults pointed out to one. Then you can really, you have the opportunity to grow from that. And so it's like turning it on its head by giving oneself the opportunity to turn using a sense of gratitude to flip it over. And in the same way, Ajahn Chah is saying, you know, often we spend our time wanting to be in good health and resenting illness and sickness, and saying oftentimes people, oh, I couldn't, you know, he'll hear monks sort of complaining, oh, I couldn't practice the whole rains retreat, I was sick the whole time, couldn't practice. And he says, well, actually, that's an opportunity to say, wow, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to recognize, yeah, illness, sickness, death. That's real practice when you have a chance to reflect on these realities of human existence. But we tend to say resent them or say, well, practice is when things are going well, my samadhi is together, I've got reflecting on the teachings in a real cogent and clear way, and that's when my practice is going good. But they say when there's some difficulty or when they're experiencing illness, then we tend to, you know, we tend to resent that, or we tend to feel intimidated by it, and so that sense of, oh, turning one could be grateful for the difficulties, and because we have the opportunity to learn from that. So it's just that simple act of doing, oh, I can learn from this. I can understand another aspect of the human experience through that. So it's a way of turning the mind, and that turning of the mind is a really it's an essential part of practice that allows us to really go beyond our comfort zone, go beyond our sort of push the envelope a bit of what we feel is acceptable, because that's so much of our spiritual practice is we spend a tremendous amount of effort trying to make it comfortable, acceptable, and not just spiritual. I mean, since our spiritual practices are, let's say, in the human condition, that's what human beings expend a huge amount of effort in doing, is making things comfortable, acceptable, secure, and resent or fear anything that's outside of that. So that there's, by using a quality like gratitude, is a way of sort of saying, oh, I can learn from this. I can appreciate something that's outside of my comfort zone, something that makes me work a bit harder. And that's, you know, in terms of practice, because sometimes practice is, especially when we conceive of, you know, I really do need to get beyond my comfort zone in practice. I really do need to push myself a bit. Then oftentimes the pushing is sometimes just that. It's just pushing, or it's forceful, or it's kind of it has a almost a, you know, an edge of aversion or annihilation to it. I'm going to annihilate these defilements. I'll destroy them. It comes from a very hard and almost unaccepting intention. And when it comes from that, then usually it pushes back at us as well. We tend to you don't really transcend or get beyond, understand it. What happens is it sets up a dynamic in the mind that the mind's really not at ease, the heart is not really settled. Whereas that quality of gratitude, when we approach it from that, we can, you know, put ourselves, say, outside of our comfort zone, but there's a sense of spaciousness there, and the mind is able to really settle. There's also there's a discourse where the Buddha talks about the impossibility of somebody who is without gratitude, or is this quality. I mean, say it's like a stinginess, but it's not just stingy about material things. It's a it's also about an approach to a narrow kind of approach to experience in the world. And he said, without that quality, that gratitude is a part of it, the mind is not able to experience first John, or second John, or third John, or fourth John, or stream entry, so that the mind is not able to enter those more settled states of concentration, as well as the set and going and be open to insight and penetration. So it lays the foundation, or it helps. It's a quality that helps lay the foundation for the mind to really settle and be clear. And that's an important reflection, in the sense of yeah, what is it that allows the mind to settle? What are the qualities that allow the mind to really be peaceful? And it's the building of a momentum of kind of well-being, a momentum of wholesome mental states that allows the mind to really settle. And of course, gratitude is a very powerful quality that allows the mind to be bright. And when we reflect on that, it's a good way of, you know, when we, you know, in our practice, you know, so we sit down to for meditation, you know, rather than, you know, sort of, you know, okay, so cross our legs, get ourselves sit up, get our posture up, right? You know, rather than going into a, get mind on the breath, okay, in breath, out breath, in breath, out breath. Let us sort of sit and say, okay, what do I have to be grateful for? And you see, there's a different quality of the mind that comes there. So just to really allow the mind to review and reflect. What are the things that are worthy of gratitude? What are the occasions that where others have helped, or circumstances have been favorable, because it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, we've all been around long enough to know that. So external conditions, in terms of physical conditions, the world, the weather, the political climate, social climate, economic climate, yeah, it can be quite challenging. And then there's those human beings that you have to live with. And it's just, they can be really irritating sometimes. But if we focus on that, if that's what our, if they we allow that to just take over the mind, then that just plays a tape loop that goes through our consciousness, that just ends up in, you know, negativity and or dullness, because I just want to tune it out. But if we direct attention to something like gratitude, then it's not just a Pollyanna-ish type of, oh, isn't everything wonderful? But sort of, yes, there is all the rest of it, but I choose to look at something that is helps to the mind be bright, because that's what's really has value in my life. That's what I want to make a value in my life, that which brings brightness and clarity and peace. And there's always, when one turns one's attention and starts reflecting on it, then you start realizing, well, there actually is lots of things. It's like today, The meal offering was in honor of Jay, and today we've got a little shrine up for Jay. And if we wanted to, we could think of all the sort of stubborn and kind of odd things that Jay was. But, well, is that really useful? We can also turn our attention to all of the things that Jay brought, and things that are really worthy of gratitude. One of the things that sticks in my mind, even to this day, and probably stick in my mind for a long time, is Jay being, his cancer was really, really advancing, and he was quite in a lot of discomfort, and he's getting pretty thin. He wasn't eating because of the cancer in his mouth, and then coming down and preparing meals for us. Just wasn't even eating them himself. He was coming down and preparing meals for us. And coming down for Katina. He wasn't a people person, but he made a point of coming down for Katina last year, just to be with people. And people, there's actually this Katina, there are many people who actually mention that. People who didn't... not even come here all that often, but remembering Jay coming down for last year's Katina and just being here. Those are things that bring up a sense of gratitude to the mind, and everybody has these different qualities. Everybody has on a certain level, we've got a picture of Ajahn Chah up here, and we talk about Ajahn Chah's, there's a great master who was the bright light for passing on the Dharma to all of us, and having this inspiring so many people, and he certainly was that, but he could also be really irritating and frustrating to be around. It's really easy to live with a dead teacher. Yeah, you can really idolize a dead teacher. but it's a real human being is more complex. And that's similar for all of us. If somebody is, when we're alive and we're here and present, and you bring the whole package. It's easy to be less forgiving with a real person, but that's why that sense of it does need to make a conscious effort or make conscious attempts at directing our thoughts, thoughts of gratitude. Because when we do that, we realize, there's that also. And that can then gain the momentum. And as I was saying before, that sense of when we direct attention to something that does bring a sense of well-being, of very wholesome states of mind, that's what allows the mind it fosters the ability to settle and to concentrate. So if one is aspiring to peaceful states of consciousness, samadhi, then make a point of directing attention into those qualities of gratitude. Say if one wants to stay agitated and restless and whatnot, then you can let the mind dwell on aversion and ill will sense of irritation with the world around, but it doesn't allow the mind to be peaceful. So that to really give up, and it's an act of relinquishment, to actually relinquishing that voice in the mind that sort of goes towards, they should have done it like that, it shouldn't be this way, it had, and why don't they do this, why isn't it like that, and it may be true, and it may be right, but what's the result, and is it appropriate to allow that to take over, so that in terms of training the mind and directing attention to the qualities that will allow the mind to settle and to be peaceful, and there's an act of relinquishment that's needed, and that relinquishing of that okay, I can let that go, I can relinquish that, and then that directing attention towards something like gratitude is gratitude, contentment. These are, it's like what the Buddha said in the Mangala Sutta, in terms of what are the highest blessings. I mean, he goes through many, but that contentment, gratitude, these are the highest blessings. And it's their blessings because they bring peace, they bring clarity. And so it's not something that we just sort of wait around and for the conditions in the world and conditions in our life to be perfect so that we can feel grateful for things and have a sense of gratitude. But it's something that one brings attention to on a regular basis so that it becomes the habit of the mind. And so it's a training, and it's a skillful way of giving a sense of oomph to the mind that has some brightness to it, so that this is a quality not just for say social harmony and fulfilling some sort of duty externally on a communal level or a social level, but it's a quality that has very powerful ramifications and effects on the state of the mind, the internal training of the heart, and when we pay attention to that, we're sowing the seeds for a real awakening to blossom within the heart. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.
Sadhu, sadhu.